My name is Dave, and I am obviously the pastor here in this amazing place to be. New Life. How many have had a good week? How many have had a week? How many of you are like, oh, thank you, Jesus, for it being over week? Yes. I can resonate with y'all. Oh my gosh. But I tell you what, I am pumped to be here with you today. I'm pumped. I don't know about you and with in regards to this sermon series, but God has really been challenging me on the topic of worship and blessing me. And when you begin to grab a hold of the word of God and begin to apply it in your life, man, can I just tell you to buckle up and hang on, because it's going to be an amazing ride. Amen. I'm pumped that Wednesday we start our midweek services from pre-K to high school. I'm excited to see what God is going to do in the students that come from the youngest age to the oldest age. I'm pumped for our teams. They have got a lot of great things planned, and I'm excited. And I'm most excited that I don't have to be there. Oh my goodness. I love youth ministry, but when you're doing youth ministry and lead pastor stuff, it'll wear you out in a hurry. But I'm just pumped. I'm excited to see what God is going to do in and through our leadership teams. I'm excited to see what he's going to do in and through our students. It's going to be a great year. I am anticipating and believing for great things this year. And I am ready for it to go. I'm also really, really been, like I said, excited about this series. It has been one where... Well, it tends to be in my life when I preach something, God is walking me through that. Or if I haven't experienced it, he's going to walk me through it as I'm learning and growing and then sharing with you guys. This has been one of those series. And if you haven't been with us in a while or you're a first-time guest, we've been in a series. This is part 6 of a series called More Than a Song. And looking at what worship is and what it means to us in our life and how it should look in our life. And today, the title of the message is Thank God. How timely is that, right? Thank God. Ever turn to your neighbor and say, thank God. Thank God. Thank God for you. Turn to your other neighbor. Thank God for you. Man, I came across this story that I thought, man, what a great way to start this out. So it goes like this. 2 days before Thanksgiving, an elderly man in Phoenix called his son in New York and said, I hate to ruin your day, son, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough. We're sick of each other, and so you call your sister in Chicago and tell her. Frantic, the son calls his sister, who exploded on the phone. They are not getting a divorce, she shouted. I'll take care of this. She called Phoenix immediately and said to her father, you are not getting a divorce. Like she has control, right? But you're not getting a divorce. Don't you do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back, and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. Do you hear me? The man hung up his phone, turned to his wife, and said, okay, honey, the kids are coming for Thanksgiving, paying for their own flights. Don't ever make us do that, Drew. No, that was just awesome. And as funny as that story is, I think it's sad, and it's typical. It's typically the only day of the year that we find ourselves being thankful for anything. But it's sad to think about that, right? It's like showing gratitude has been a problem throughout human history. Yeah, so let's begin this morning by taking a look at God's word and the authority on all these things, right? And let's grab what God wants us to learn about being thankful today. If you're ready, say uh-huh. If you got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 17. We're going to start in verse 11. I believe I have the scriptures on the screen if you guys don't bring your Bibles. But if you don't bring your, can I just encourage you to bring your word? Because, man, you can write, you ought to see my Bible. It's got all kinds of notes and things in it. It's okay to write in your Bible. It's okay because God gives you, he just downloads revelation to you and things, and you can write it right there, that kind of stuff. If you got a Bible, it's got note spots. It's okay. It's not sacrilegious to write in your Bible, okay? I just want to clear that up right now. I actually had somebody say, that's sacrilegious, Pastor. That's the word of God. And it's like, yep, it is the word of God. It is. But nowhere in the word of God does it say, thou shalt not write in the word of God. Right? It's free. It's free to write in your word of God. There you go. So Luke chapter 17, verse 11, as Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priest. Okay, let's pause there for a second. There's a lot right here, right? There's a lot. Let's lay this out a little bit, okay? Lepers, okay? In Jesus' day, in the Bible times, that was probably one of the worst, if not the worst, disease that you could have. It was leprosy, okay? And they were outcasts. These 10 men were outcasts of society. They had, when if somebody came around them, they had to pronounce themselves unclean, unclean. Can you imagine having to do that? And today, walking through IGA, if you could even get into IGA, you'd probably have to go after nighttime when nobody was there, but you're walking down the road, unclean, right? But they had to say unclean and unclean when another human approached. And here's the crazy thing. The priest is the only person who could qualify them as clean and allow them to enter mainstream society again. Okay? So, and here's the crazy thing. Jesus being a rabbi, Jesus being Jewish, Jesus would know and understand the culture of that day. Right? You guys following me? So he says, he looked at them and says, go show yourselves to the priest, right? He just performed a miracle in that statement, right? And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. He didn't say, be healed. He just said, go and show yourself to the priest. Check this out. So they did. They here's the crazy thing about it. When you look, and we're going to read it again here in a minute, but when did that take place? When did the healing take place? On their way. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. And they went, right? They went, so that was a sign of obedience, first of all, you got grabbing that. They went, and that's when the healing took place. When they said, okay, boom. They put faith into action, right? You guys got to grab a hold of this. Faith into action. They didn't say, what did he mean by go show yourself to the priest? Did he really? No, they just said, okay. And they went on. And it took place at the point that they went. Pretty cool, huh? Yeah. Okay. They went. As they went, as they stepped out and put their faith into action, put their action to their belief, all 10 of them were healed. Now, check this out. Verse 15. One of them went, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God! He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Okay, a little bit of history lesson. You guys know how Samaritans and Jews were, right? Samaritans were considered half-breeds, right? It was a prejudice thing. It was half-breeds. They weren't full Jew. They were like dogs, okay? Jesus was a Jewish man. This guy was a Samaritan. He comes back and says, thank you to Jesus, right? Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Now, if you're taking notes, here's number one. You ready? Often we become so focused on our current needs that we forget to be grateful for what he has already done in our lives. Right? The other nine were so focused on going and presenting themselves to the priest that they didn't even realize, or the focus wasn't on the fact that Jesus just healed them. It was on the fact that they were going to the priest, not to God. Not going back to be grateful. Okay? Now, they got home. They got to see their families. They got to be with their wife. They got to sleep in their own bed. They get to go back to work. They get to re-enter their life. Their entire world was now reopened to them once they were healed. Okay, you got to understand, this is a big, big deal, right? Huge deal. But many of us are like that when it comes to God, our relationship with God, right? We're so focused on the present need, the present circumstance, the present situation, that we forget to be grateful for what he has already done in our lives. It's amazing to me. And I'm just as guilty as anybody. But you get so caught up in the current need that you forget about all the other provision in God's life. You forget about the miracles that God has done in your life. You forget about all of these things that we have in our life because of God, but we get so focused on this, right? And here's the crazy thing. You've heard me say this before. Whatever we focus on gets bigger, right? So if all we're focusing on is the need or the circumstance or any of that stuff, and that's all we focus, we hyper-focus on it, it gets bigger. And it seems to get bigger in our life. And it, what does that do? It pushes out anything that we have to do with God. You following me? You picking up what I'm throwing down? So the other nine guys were focused on the priest's approval. This one guy comes back and says, thank you. And the Bible teaches us a very simple truth in point number two. And this one's a good one to grab a hold of, and it's this. Our worship must always begin with thanksgiving to remind ourselves of God's goodness and faithfulness in our lives. Should always begin with being thankful. Our prayer time, our devotional time, our worship, all of it should begin with thanksgiving, right? Always begin by thinking of everything that you're grateful for, right? So oftentimes we get so caught up and focused on the bills that I have to pay or the car's broken down and blah, 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 that we don't even stop to think about, God, thank you for the job that I have to be able to pay for these things, right? Being thankful. Or it's like, man, the car, I got to replace the starter, and that's $365, and I got to pay for the new tires, and that's $1 million, and I got to pay, right? What about being thankful? What about being thankful for having a car, right? And a job to be able to pay for the things that are going wrong with the car. I mean, there's a lot to be thankful for. You picking up what I'm throwing down? We need to be thankful. Maybe your spouse isn't perfect. Right? Mine is. But I'm not. I'm not. And so maybe thinking of one or two qualities in that spouse of yours that you are very thankful for. And you begin to say, God, thank you for. Thank you for. I know that he's not perfect, but thank you for him. Thank you for her. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Right? Whatever it is, you can fill in the blank. But Psalm 95 verse 2 says this, let us come to him with thanksgiving and let us sing psalms of praise to him. Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love. What kind of love? Unfailing, right? Unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. So to fully understand these scriptures, we need to grasp a hold of something today. We need to grasp the literal place of worship where the Israelites came to seek their God, to pray and offer sacrifices, which was where? Where did they have to go three times a year? They had to go to Jerusalem to the temple, right? Now, if you were at the city of David, which was right outside of the city walls of Jerusalem, not so bad of a trip. But most of the time, they had to travel on foot most of the time, several days to get to Jerusalem. And some of them are even like a week or more. I mean, they had a long trek ahead of them. And after going to Israel and seeing the terrain, give me a whole new respect for the Israelites. They were tough of how they had to walk to some of these places. And I'm going, man, thank you, God, for my car. Right? But they had to do this three times a year to come and to worship God, because that's where the presence of God was the temple, right? And that's where they had to go. And but so often we come to God, and we're blessed people, because we don't have to go to Jerusalem. What Jesus did on the cross, tore the veil in the Holy of Holies, and gave us access to God himself. We don't have to go to a priest. We didn't have to bring a goat or a bull or something like that to be sacrificed for our sin. We don't have that. We're blessed. We should be thankful. Okay? Get the gist here? We should be thankful. But so often we come to God with our needs and our wants, our desires, and when we approach God, we don't always come with thanksgiving. We come in like, God, I need this, I need that. Will you please do this, God that? It's like God's this cosmic Santa Claus, and all his whole job is to provide for us and to give us the things that we want and need. Can I just say, you probably even know what I'm gonna say, but that dog don't hunt. Right? That dog don't hunt. But that's how sometimes we come into the presence of God with our wish list and our need list. And what we really need to be doing is approaching God and entering into his presence with thanks for all that he's done. Now, he is Jehovah Jireh, God the provider, the one who provides. Jehovah Rapha, the God of healing. He is all these things. And there's no taking that back. There are promises that we get to stand on in that aspect when it comes to scripture. But if the first thing that we do when we walk into his presence is, God, I need you to do this, where's the awe of God in that? Where's the reverence of God in that, right? Where is that? That's like our kids giving us their birthday list or Christmas list, saying they want all these things. It's not a people that is thankful. God, thank you for my health today. Thank you for the very breath in my lungs today. Thank you for my beautiful family. Thank you for my job. Thank you for the privilege to live in this town and see your mountains far, far away every day. Thank you for the harvest. Thank you for the weather. Thank you. I mean, good grief, guys. We got so much to be thankful for in our lives. The writings of Paul, the Apostle Paul, you want to talk about a man that practiced this regularly? This is the guy that we need to learn from. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Colossians 1:3, we always pray for you and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philemon 1:4, always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon. And it goes on and on. Every letter he writes, Paul is thanking God for the people that he's talking, thanking God even for his suffering, being able to suffer for the cause of Christ. Can you wrap your mind around that one? He's thanking God, and he's sitting in prison. And there's one, I think it's in Philippians. No, it's in Acts, where him and Silas are in prison. I think I used this scripture last week. And they have been beaten with a wooden rod. They're shackled at the ankles in a pit hole prison. And what do? They're thanking God and singing praise to him. How many of us could sit in the county lockup and be saying, God, thank you for this? Right? Probably not very many. I know that I would really have to work at it personally. I don't look good in that color orange. I'm sorry. But it just doesn't go. Right? But Thanksgiving recalibrates our hearts to God, to his heart. It recalibrates, right? Being thankful, and you guys know this truth, being thankful is so counterculture to the way of the world today, right? It is. But when we are thankful, we begin to look up at what God is doing versus looking down at what is happening. And I know, gosh, do I so know this? It is super, super duper. That's really super. Super duper easy to fall into complaining and getting disappointed. Anybody ever been disappointed this week at all? How about today? Anyone? Okay. It's easy to fall into that. And a heart of thanksgiving reminds us that he is in control when I feel like my life is out of control. Right? Being thankful, the heart of thanksgiving reminds us that he is in control when our life feels like it's spinning way out of control. And it's something that we got to focus on. It changes our focus of what didn't happen onto what did happen, right? There's so many things that we can go, God, thank you for that. I know that I'm in the middle of this garbage, but thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, right? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, I shared this last week and before we entered into praise and worship time. Don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious for anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then what does it say? Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything that we can understand. His peace will guard what? Heart. And as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know, some of you guys weren't here last week, but 2 weeks ago I was preparing and studying and looking through stuff, and I found this article on what scientists are now strongly suggesting, which God already knew, but strongly suggesting that the part of our brain that processes anxiety and the part of our brain that processes thanksgiving can't operate at the same time, right? What did I just read? Don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious for anything, but instead in prayer, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him, so you can't be anxious and thankful at the same time. Picking up what I'm throwing down, isn't that cool? God created our brain to not be able to function the same at the same time in that way. So here's the crazy thought about this, is if you begin to be thankful for the things that are going in your life, be thankful, there's no room for anxiety to be in action in your life, right? Now here's the crazy thing. I actually tried this out this week because this week was a really, really, really tough week, and I had to practice on being thankful. Really did. It's funny how God works. It's like, okay, preacher man, if you're gonna preach it, you need to live it, right? Thank you. Thank you. But I began to have anxiety in certain situations that were happening this week, and I just went, wait, God just reminded me. It was like, boom, What are you thankful for? And I'm like, oh, snap. I just preached that. Okay. God, thank you for my family. Thank you for my church family. And I just begin to be thankful. And guess what happened? Anxiety disappeared. Amen. What scientists are now proving just now, God created it from the beginning of time. This in us. He created our brain so intricately and so marvelously that it's just the way that he created it. If you thank me, you won't be anxious. If you are thankful, you won't be worried. You won't be anxious. And it's like, now that doesn't mean that the devil's not going to come in and try to hamstring it, right? He knows. The devil knows scripture better than we all do. Better believe it. And he's going to try to use it against us. But God said, don't be anxious for anything, but talk to God about everything, bringing your needs to him with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will help guard your heart and your mind. Boom, shakalaka. There it is, right? Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, Paul again says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built upon, up in him, strengthened in your faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. It's not just a November holiday. It is year round, right? There's power in gratitude, power in gratitude. Same book, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, Paul says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Are you filling your life with all the richness of Christ? Come on. And he goes on, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. How many of us came in here today and was singing with the worship team and you had thankful hearts? Or how many of us were going, holy cow, I've got this to do today and I've got that bill due on Monday and I've got, picking up what I'm throwing down? Thankfulness. And then it says, and whenever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now, like I said, there's power in gratitude. The power of gratitude breaks the cycle of negativity. It breaks that, stops us from being negative. Being critical is easy to fall into. My goodness, my family is the not my family here, but my parents and extended family, they are really gifted in nitpicking, right? So negative all the time. And it's like, oh, stop. But it's easy. And I find myself, the more I spend time with them, it's so easy for me to fall into that. And then my wife goes, Ginther, go be with Jesus. Go find your happy place. But it's easy. It's easy to fall into that negativity. It's like the Chicken Little syndrome. This guy is falling, this guy, right? The Eeyore syndrome. There's so many syndromes. The Eeyore syndrome is, oh, bother. Right? We've been around people like that. Maybe you are a person like that. I'm learning that the older that I get, the easier for me to become grumpy and negative. I don't know what that's about. Right? Anybody, my older saints in here, you guys struggle with that too, or is it just a Pastor Dave thing? It's like, yeah, it's like, ooh, right? You got to fight this stuff. So the power of gratitude breaks the cycle of negativity. The power of gratitude helps us slow down and appreciate life. I think it's safe to say that we really live in a fast-paced society now, right? Our life is fast-paced. It's pew, pew, all of them. But when we take the time to pause to say thank you, right? Like the story of the 10 lepers. One took the time to come back to Jesus and say, thank you, right? When we take that time and pause, saying thank you blesses the other person as well as ourselves. But the most important thing is it helps us slow down. Why? Why does it help us slow down? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Because we have to take time to sit down and write a thank you note or to make a phone call or to send that text message or that email. We have to pause. We have to take time to do that, right? It slows down. It gives us an opportunity to think a little bit. And again, the Apostle Paul always expressed gratitude in his writings. He always took the time. And I think one of the reasons that he did this is because gratitude reinforces the good behavior of others. It really reinforces it, right? When we stop to say thank you, it encourages them to repeat that godly behavior. You ever experienced that? When you're in a spot and you just say, man, thank you, I appreciate you, thank you. They turn around and it's like, oh, well, I appreciate you. And then next thing you know, it's, right? Paying it forward. You guys heard that term, right? What gets praised gets repeated, okay? It gets repeated. Showing appreciation, it encourages that behavior in that individual and everyone else who's witnessed it. It reinforces it. Thank you for all of you that serve in New Life Fellowship or in our community. Thank you for serving Jesus well. Thank you for inviting friends. Thank you for making church a priority. Here's the crazy, I appreciate the fact that you guys are here. I'm still gonna love Jesus and I'm still gonna praise him whether you're here or not, but it sure makes it a whole lot easier to preach to you guys than the empty room. Other than I don't have the nerves. But thank you. Thank you for all that you do at New Life to make it special. Thank you. Those kinds of things, right? We were created, when we create the habit of showing appreciation, we are really establishing a teaching model. Did you know that? When you are being thankful and appreciative to people, truly from the heart, not just thank you, right? But being truly humble and thanking people and appreciating them for who they are and what they contribute, it begins to create a culture. And it's a learning model. Then people are like, well, no wonder you're so happy all the time. It's because you're always looking at the silver lining. You're always looking at, right? And then they're learning what gets rewarded gets repeated. And it's a thing that happens. And it's important because of this. Whew, it's warm up here. It's important because gratitude is contagious. Gratitude is contagious. When we say thank you, it inspires somebody else as well. Right? It reminds those around us that there is stuff to be thankful for. We need to model that to our children. We need to model that in our workplace. We need to model that in everywhere that we are, paying it forward. When you're at Folklore or Java Hut or the grocery store, thank them for serving. But what tends to happen is they always get criticized. Man, you're slow. Man, you messed this up. Man. I've heard that in restaurants. I've heard that in grocery stores. Be thankful that there's somebody to bag your groceries. Be thankful that there's somebody making your latte hot and right, right? Be thankful, paying it forward. Maybe it's a thing of just like, you know what? I got your latte today. And boom, you pay the $5, wherever it is for a latte. And you just bless somebody, being thankful. What it does is it's being contagious, right? Gratitude also separates us from the crowd. Why do so few people show gratitude? Why do you think that is? I don't want an answer necessarily, but think about that. Why? Why are we so, tend to be so ungrateful? And I know that I'm just preaching to me because you guys are amazing. But Ask yourself that question. Why is it that people are so ungrateful? Why is it? Why am I so ungrateful? I mean, it's that piece. I read this article this week about an HR human resources person of a major U.S. corporation. They were the HR person for 20 years. And they were talking about the power of saying thank you, right? And he said to the interviewer, I've never hired anybody for our company who did not say thank you for the interview. And he went on to say, or they sent an email thanking me for my time in the interview process. He went on to tell them that we know if they don't thank you at the beginning, they won't thank you when they have the job. The power, that's not even in the church world, right? That's in secular world, that's in the business world. I don't know if that guy is a Christian or not, but he understands the power of thank you. And he won't hire anybody that doesn't say thank you. I don't know if that's discrimination or what, but I think it creates a culture within their environment of being thankful, right? Being thankful. How many of you ever watched Undercover Boss? Anybody ever watch that? I was watching this episode of this young guy in his 20s, and he was the most belligerent, ungrateful person in the company, and he's doing this in front of his, not that he knew, but his boss, but this is how he treats everybody. And in the show, they always come clean at the end, right? And they bring him in. And one of the things that the boss, the undercover boss, was trying to say is, man, you've got a lot of talent, but this attitude is toxic. And I want to encourage you to deal with it. And he's like, yeah, whatever. Huh? And I'm going, this is the dude that you, there's a reason you have a job. And you're being ungrateful. And it was, but it illustrated the point fabulously of it's toxic, right? It's toxic. And I think we can learn from that. And gratitude helps keep our hearts tender. When I lose gratitude, my heart begins to harden. It becomes hard. I don't know if you guys experienced that, but for me, it does. It keeps, when I have a heart of gratitude, it keeps it soft and pliable, and it keeps me sensitive to the things of God. It keeps me sensitive to Scripture. It keeps my heart and my life sensitive. That tender heart keeps access with God, right? It's when we come to God with a hardened heart, man, that's the hard place. That's the place that we don't want to be, right? But when we have a heart of gratitude, it keeps us tender and sensitive to the things of God and the presence of God, and then we keep that access. Does that make sense? You picking up what I'm throwing down? Right on. Let me wrap up this morning. And as we move into communion, I want to share a few more scriptures with you that I think reinforces the importance of being thankful. And that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Again, Paul says, always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Psalm 95, 1 through 3. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyful to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing songs of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. In Psalm 103, 1 through 5, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. Verse 4, he redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Does that sound like King David's a little bit thankful. Psalm 150, verse 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequal greatness. Praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let me ask, what are you grateful for today? What are you grateful for today? On your note page, I put a little space in there to encourage you to write down. Take some time to write down the things that you're grateful for. What am I thankful for today? What am I thankful for in my life? And here's why I do this. Is because if you don't practice it, you'll never get good at living it, right? We get to practice. Paul says, practice being holy. Practice being godlike, right? We don't just say this prayer and receive the gift of grace and salvation for our sins and all of a sudden we're great at everything. We got to practice holiness. We got to practice godliness. We got to practice being thankful. And so I wanted to give you a chance, take it with you. You don't have to do it right now. Some of you are like, oh my gosh, right? Some of us have to really work at it because we've lived our life so long with unthankfulness. Is that a good word? Ungratefulness, lack of grace. I don't know what good English is there, but we don't practice it. And then we get caught up with the negativity of life and we get trapped in that. And then we lose how to be thankful. And even on Thanksgiving, we sit there and go, I have to, why does that family member have to come? And why, right? And we're not really even truly thankful on the day that has the word Thanksgiving in it. But it shouldn't be relegated to one day of the year. It needs to be every day of our life. And so I want to encourage you to take the time to do that. Take the time to do that. And so those who are serving communion, I'm going to invite you to come forward. And as they come, I want to give you some time to reflect on a couple things. First is to reflect on what you have to be thankful for. And the second, Paul instructs us to examine ourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup of the Lord's Supper. Because anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on themselves. And if you're not a regular attender, you're a first-time guest, or you haven't been here long enough to experience communion with us, here at New Life, we believe that communion is open. And what I mean by that is if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are a Christ follower, you are welcome to partake of communion. The only thing that we ask is that when you've been served, that you hold the emblems because we take it as a family. Does that make sense? So, gentlemen, if you'll come.